الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فبشر عباد الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم الألباب. صدق الله العظيم.
The prisoners of war was a woman amongst the prisoners. Any child that she could lay her hands on, she would pick the child up and try and breastfeed the child. So the Nabi Sallam asked Sahaba Ikram, "Do you see the affection this woman has for the child? And Allah Ta'ala's affection for His servant is more than the affection of this woman or the mother for her child. Mother, her breast is just filling up and she can't resist holding a child, feeding the child. So the love Allah Ta'ala has for His servants is far in excess than the love that the mother has for its own one and own only single child. It is because of His love, His compassion, His kindness towards His servants that He creates avenues, right? Come to me, come in one way, come in another way, come in the third way, but come, try, work, don't remain complacent, don't be stuck at the same point. So in this verse that I've recited, he says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. So give the good news to my servants. So look at the extent of the love. He starts off the whole verse, the command, then passed on this good news to my servants. That means that he wants us to be blessed some way or the other. Therefore, he's passing on this message that give my servants the good news. He wants to bless you. So what is the path of blessing? How do you know that you are blessed? So for anything to happen in this world, Allah Ta'ala has created procedures. A man wants a child. So the child is saying, is 13 years of age, 12 years of age. And he says, my elder brother, who is 25, he became a father and I can't become a father. So the father says, there is a procedure, wait for some time until you're about 19, 20, then we'll look for someone for you. Then inshallah, you work, Allah Ta'ala will grant you a child. But now, our problem is we want it microwave, spontaneous. Just press the button and it must happen. So Allah Ta'ala has created procedures. In the sixth year of the Hijrat, the Nabi Sallam had seen a dream that is entering into the Haram Sharif. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. They are in security, in peace, and they made their tawaf, and some have shaved, and some have trimmed the hair. And then Nabi Sallam sees the keys of the Kaaba Sharif in his hand. So the dream of a Nabi is inspiration, it is a revelation, it's a command. The Sahaba Kiram, as anxious as they were, 6 long years they haven't been to the motherland. It's their own land. Muhajireen, it is their land. The gates have been sealed off from them. Now, they had to hear this dream and they felt, now immediately we should pack up and move towards Makkah Mukarramah. So the dream of the Nabi Sallam is 100%, there's no fault, there's no discrepancy. But it's a process. Like I say, the father says to the child that you will be a father one day. He's the age of 13 and he wants it to materialize immediately. So father says, but just hold on. You're going to get a child, you'll become a father, I've made dua, my duas are answered, But there's a process. Sahaba Ikram had gone straight away. Here the truce of Hudaybiyah had taken place and they were asked to return, come and return the following year. Now Sahaba Ikram agitated. Ya Rasulullah, aren't you true? Didn't you promise us that we will get to the Kaaba Sharif? Didn't you say us that we will make the tawaf? I said, yes. But he said, I tell you that you're going to make tawaf this year. But you are going to make tawaf. You're going to make umrah. And this land is going to come in your control. But there's a process. From the time that you see the dream, inshallah, it will happen. And within 20 months, and the whole land was theirs. So all will happen. But there's a process. So Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us that all the bounties that you want, I will grant it to you. But there is a process, there is a procedure, you follow the procedure, inshallah, you will get there. You want to get to Umrah, and you are boarding the plane that is taking you to Cape Town. Will you ever reach? Can't reach. So for everything, he's created a procedure, you start off, and inshallah, you will go. You want to become a medical student, and then you want to work in a barber shop. It's going to happen. Kam hoga bhai. Not going to happen. There's a procedure. You follow the procedure. You will get there. There's no two ways about it. Inshallah, you will get there, but follow a procedure. Now the question is that you want to reach up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to be amongst those fortunate souls who Allah ta'ala is giving the good news. Then how do you become that fortunate soul? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ The first requirement is, they listen. They listen, يَسْتَمِعُونَ attentively. One is to listen, hearing the talk, like how it's customary today, just jump into the car, you're listening to something, at home, transmitter, coming back, you're listening to something. Coming to the masjid, there's something on the board. So there's so many things that I think many of us are getting mentally constipated. So much overload. Not digested. So, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ That you listen, and you listen attentively. Now this attentively, what does it mean? So now look at another verse of the Qur'an Sharif. Allah Pak says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ So this message is for that person who's got an undivided mind. His heart is not divided, not here, there, everywhere. Sometimes, our minds are here. We are sitting here. Mind is in the Kaaba Sharif. We're going to go up there. What are we going to do? And which hotel we'll book in? And the customs, what we will tell them? And how we'll get through? And what we're going to bring back from there? So our mind is wandering in all these places. And you see now we are listening to the talk. Allah Pak says, no. That is not, this talk is not going to be beneficial to you. So what is required for the talk to be beneficial? Undivided attention. I can be reading Durood Sharif and listening to the talk. I don't want it. What Allah Pak says, that you are sending Durood Sharif to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but your sitting here and listening to the talk is not accepted. It's not rejected, it's not accepted. Why? It's undivided. I want an undivided attention. Your mind is somewhere else and you are listening to this. Your mind is divided, so I don't want this. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ See, even when the Qur'an Sharif is being recited, إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ It's a word of Allah Ta'ala. One is a sawab to recite, to listen to it. And the other is, it's a sawab also to remain silent. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا Remain silent and listen. Why does Allah Pak say, remain silent and listen? Because He wants your undivided attention. He doesn't want an attention that is divided. If your little child is talking to you, you are talking to him, you're advising him, and he's playing with his phone. Do you appreciate that? You know, you little nipper like this, and you don't have any respect. But aren't we nippers before Allah Ta'ala? So when it's the word of Allah Ta'ala, then what level of attention do we require? We want all the respect for ourselves, but when we are showing, we are doing a dini program, the house of Allah Ta'ala, the words of Allah Ta'ala. Are we showing that level of discipline, respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah Ta'ala deserves? Or our mind is somewhere else? Your mind is elsewhere, then you go elsewhere. You are with your wife. and you want some attention, right? And she's busy on the phone. You're carrying on. But you're not a robot. I want some type of a response. No response from you. I didn't get married to a robot. So you want some type of response. You want attention. Unfortunately, the damage that this phone has caused, I thought it was my own assessment. But I'm hearing great ulama ikram of temporary times, contemporary times, they all come to the same conclusion that it's about the greatest destruction. You can't find a destruction thing that was more destructive than the phone. It's divided that attention. Yushattitul qalb. It just divides the whole attention. See that? So the first requirement is undivided attention. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. What I'm saying, I remember around 1980 or 1979, Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah had delivered a talk in West Street Masjid. And it was on the same verse. Points are the same, but I'm giving different examples because it's a different time. At that time, that phones went around, right? Now the phones are around and the minister it's caused. So this لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ has got two perspectives. One is that you are giving an undivided attention. Number two, when you're listening to someone, then you listen without any preconceived notions. Now you've got a biased mind, your mind is somewhere else, you're preconceived, you've got some reservations in your mind about the speaker, and you're sitting in the talk, and you want to get the full benefit. You've got reservations, you've got doubts, mind is not clear, mind is reserved, you got some preconceived notions, you got some biasness and some prejudice, and now you're listening to the person, so you're not going to get it. Try what you want, you're not going to get it. So Allah Pak says, this message is for who? For the one that's got this type of a heart. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. So you're not just listening, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, you're listening with the presence of the mind. In other words, the mind is not divided. Now you see that word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the effect that it will cause. Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi radiyallahu anhu, he's a leader of a clan, right? And he's coming in for Umrah. And as he's just coming into the Haram Sharif, and they are warning him, hey, don't ever go to this person that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't go near him. He's got an enchanting effect. He will overwhelm you. You don't know what will happen. You will be enchanted. You will be tricked. Please don't go near him. And the way they frightened him, and the way they frightened him, he says, I stuffed my ears with cotton wool, that I mustn't also listen to his words by mistake, accidentally. But as I drew near the Kaaba Sharif, and I saw the man, and I saw him reciting the Quran Sharif, I thought to myself that I'm a man after all, and I know what it is, what is a magician, I know what it is to be a poet, to be a soothsayer, I know all these things here, right? And I know how you can differentiate one from the other. So as a man, let me, of my own initiative, listen to this person, and let me listen to him directly. And that one recitation was enough to bring about a whole revolution in the life of a leader of a clan, Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi, accepted Islam there and then, and he conveyed the message to his people. All of them returned. But you see this word of Rasulullah and the effect, the dynamic effect. But that is for the person who's got that heart. Zamama radiallahu anhu. He's coming, and more or less he's also a representative of his people. More or less coming from a little bit of a village background, and he's coming to Medina Munawara. And here, he asked, Rabbi Sam, Akhbirni al Islam. I don't know anything about Islam, tell me. So Rabbi Sam speaks to him about namaz, roza, zakat, etc. And he keeps on asking, Hal alayya ghayruhunna. Anything else? If you're talking about namaz, anything else in namaz? La illa an tatawwa. No, this is the 5 time namazes I've explained to you. Yes, if you want to perform any nafil namaz, then that's an optional thing. So he leaves the Bisham saying, Wallahi la azidu ala hadha wala anqusu. I'm not going to make any commissions and any additions to this. I'm going to do it as you have explained. And Nabi Sam, there and then, new person coming in, and he's taken the message of Nabi Sam, and he already gets the basharat, the good news. Aflaha wa abihi, dakhal al jannah wa abihi. This man, he's earned his jannah. One sitting, and that one sitting made the man a jannati. But what was this? This was the type of mind that he came with, the heart, undivided, absolutely focused. That's what I'm saying, we are listening so much here, there, everywhere, and we feel that we are doing good to ourselves. But do we feel, do we think sometimes, that are we getting constipated, or are we really digesting? That's a requirement. So anyway, the verse of the Quran is saying, liman الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. The first requirement is that you listen attentively. Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah says, it's an irony, people moving in the cars and they got the Quran Sharif playing and they're listening as well. They come to the shop and they want barakat, so they got the Yasin Sharif playing and they're talking, everything casual. So he says, now look at the behavior, see what the Quran Sharif says. لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه. The trait or the way of the kuffar was when they saw Nabi Sam was attracting attention, so what they did? Now they tried to distract. See, this politics is not something reasoned from that time. Now Nabi Sam is attracting people. People are getting attracted to Islam. So now what should we do? We should distract. How must we distract? One is don't listen to the Quran, and if you are around Nabi Sallam where the Quran Sharif is being recited, well, go feed and shout and scream. So that the words of Nabi Sallam will be drowned by your screaming. So you see how they will plan and strategize for people to be distracted. And what Allah Pak wants, listen properly, attentively. Small messages. If you got the Quran Sharif playing, then listen to it. Listen short, just one ruku, two rukus, but listen, this is هَذَا مَنْشُورُ رَبِّي إِكْرِمَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. When he would listen to the Quran Sharif, place it to his heart, his eyes will be swelling with tears, and he would say, this is the constitution of my Rabb. This is the constitution of my Rabb. Now he'll listen little, but with that level of love, respect, that overwhelming respect. If we're going to respect the Quran, the word of Allah Ta'ala, then 100% your child will respect you. But if you don't show that respect, that attention, that respect that the Quran Sharif deserves, or the explanation of the Quran, an alim is giving an explanation that is obviously of the Quran Sharif, and you don't give it that respect, then there's possibilities that the child will also not show you respect. You can show respect to the one above, the one below you won't show you the respect. You desire the respect, but it's not going to happen. It won't happen. But the Shaykh Rahmatullah says, someone is flouting the law of Allah Ta'ala, right? He's flouting the law of Allah Ta'ala, and a child has been decreed for him. Right? He's flouting, breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, in whichever way, but in all that, a child has been decreed for him. So it says that, 9 out of 10 chances are that the child will also be disobedient. Now we're wondering, hey, you know, aajkal na poira, kya thigela chahiye, or today's boys, children, how they are, they're not showing respect. But we're not thinking, aajkal na mutta kya thigela chahiye. The elders of today, how are they? Are they showing the respect to Allah Ta'ala? We are worried about these children, right? But are we worried about ourselves? Are we showing the respect, the love, the attention that Allah Ta'ala requires? You know, I thought it was my own conclusion, but I was surprised to see that Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi, the very famous story we hear of, man came to convey salams to the Nabi Sallam, and the Mubarak hand of Nabi Sallam had come out, and approximately 70,000 people, including Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, witnessed that. So I thought this was my own conclusion, but I saw he's got it. He says most people that get blessed is because of one or two reasons. Most people get blessed, get into Jannah, get the special love and attention of Allah Ta'ala because of one of two reasons. One is this, that they show respect. Anything to deen, masjid, Quran Sharif, an alim, a muazzin, azan, anything to do with Islam, but you're showing respect to it. And you see how things will just work out for you. It just works out, things just flow. Zubaydah Khatun is the wife of Harun al-Rashid. And those that are a little bit old, they know about the stream or the canal that she had dug right to Makkah Mukarramah for the Hujjaj to enjoy, to Medina Munawara for the Zaireen to enjoy, right? So she is responsible. Now imagine what a multitude of people she must have been providing water in that zamana, right? When they didn't have all this desalination, etc., right? So what a multitude of people, prime time, Hajj time, or the time of the month of Ramadan, multitudes of people are there. Now it's 3-4 million people coming in around that time. That time must have been less, but then she's made the arrangements for all to get, all and sundry to get the water. What a massive khidmat she must have done. And that thing continued from her time. Harun Rashid's about the second year of the second century of Islamic Hijri, Islamic calendar. Right, he's in the second century. And this water continued till about 50 years ago, right? 50 or 60 years ago. So you can say easily about 1200 years, right? 1200 years it continued. So it was who? It was this Zubaydah Khatun. And her providing for all the multitudes that have come to Makkah Mukarramah, the most Mubarak of times, Hajj, or Ramadan and Roza, etc. Mubarak time. And she's providing water for them. Medina, she's providing water for them. Now she's passed on. Someone sees her. You know, Zubaydah, how's it with you? No, I got Jannat. Allah Pak has blessed me. See what Allah Pak has blessed me with. You can just see, I don't have to tell you what Allah Pak has blessed me with. But how did you get there? Because of this Nahr Zubaydah, the stream that you has caused. No, not because of that. Then what was the reason? What was the secret that Allah Pak blessed you in this manner? So this is what we're coming to, that we want that acceptance. And on this time people are going for Umrah, then shortly we'll be going for Ramadan, then after that will be Hajj. So whatever a Muslim may be, but he wants acceptance at that time. Allah Pak must accept this, my going, my coming, my spending, all that must be accepted. Zakat is spent around the same time, Hajj is done around the same time, the fasting is around the same time. So what we want is that acceptance. But then what are the procedures, what is the process, how you get this accepted? So I mentioned the Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah. The one point he says, most people get blessed, they get thrown in, they get elevated because of respect. So she says, the reason why Allah Ta'ala had elevated me was because I was hungry at that moment. I heard the azan, right? For that day, I heard the azan, not a month of Ramadan, obviously. Ramadan time, you hear the azan, you straight away break your fast. Right? So, out of respect for the azan, just for the respect, it was so overwhelming. So I just said, I'll just remain quiet now. I won't eat now straight away. Let me listen to the Quran. Let me listen to the Adhan, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me listen to it attentively. The scarf wasn't right, so I corrected my scarf as well. I corrected my scarf, and with all the attention and the respect, I listened to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on account of that respect that I had shown to the Adhan on that day, Allah ta'ala elevated me. Most people that get thrown in is because of this respect. But now the same thing that was the reason for our elders securing their deen, etc., within themselves, within their progenies, now we think it's a casual thing. What's the big deal about it? It's not a train smash. So what? If it's a muazzin, so what? If it's a hafiz up, so what? If it's a muazzin, so what? If it's a masjid, then what? So we got that attitude. The respect, the limelight, we must have that limelight. I. Deen must have it. No, that's a secondary thing. Whether deen got the respect or not, deen is a secondary thing. Primary thing is me and my business. My business mustn't be affected. Everything can happen after that, but my business mustn't be affected. My business partners mustn't be affected. My relationship with my business partners mustn't be affected. Deen can get affected, it's all right. But my relationship with my friends in my business mustn't get affected. So that's the attitude. So then your respect will go on, everything will break down, everything will collapse. Yeah, Allah Pak wants more. Me, my deen. my deen. That must be the primary concern. How must I elevate? How must I work? How must I get this up? Bishr Hafi Rahmatari, we should listen to the story from Hazaji Rahmatari. Alright, we had the full confidence in what Hazaji says. But I was surprised. I opened some big kitabs and I saw the same man, Bishr Hafi. And more or less word to word for word, what Hazaji explained. Now this man is a drunkard. Bishr Hafi is a drunkard. When you want to know about him, where is he? He's in the bar. He's just drunk. Now he sees the name of Allah Ta'ala written somewhere. He's drunk, picks up the paper, washes it, got some money in his pocket, buys some itar, applies it, and places it on his turban, in his turban. Now he's gone home. The saint of the time, the awliya of the time, someone is seeing a dream that you go and tell this Bishr Hafi that you exalted my name, we will exalt your name. You honored my name and we will honor your name. Just as one thing, see this honoring, respecting, elevating the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any circumstance that we are, but we respect, we honor, we don't discount this. In this matter, we don't discount. You know, sometimes it happens that a little bit of recognition, a little bit of wealth, it swells, it makes your head swollen. You got Shah Jahan, one of the Mughal kings, right? His wife, unfortunately, was a Shia. So anyway, now that Shia wanted to engage some alim of that time. So whilst he's engaging him, so he mentioned some words that were not in conformity with dini respect. So now this is a Shia, is a mujtahid, is a leader of his people. He's engaging with an alim here in the presence of Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan is not a dini person, right? More dunyavi person. Right? We know about the Taj Mahal, he's built the Taj Mahal, right? So more or less a worldly inclined person. And he's convened this whole thing, this debate. But in the process of this whole discussion and this debate, some word of disrespect came out from the mouth of the Shia. That's a leader of his people. So immediately Shah Jahan, he summoned, said, handcuff him and throw him out with all disgrace. Now his wife is complaining, you know, he says, Jana, my beloved, this is my respect. He's an alim, he's a leader from my community. And he has been thrown out with this type of disgrace and humiliation. So his words were, Jana, Jan mi dadi, mi dada, na ke iman. My beloved, I gave you my life, not my iman. That little disregard, little disrespect to iman, I'm not going to tolerate. Little bit. I gave you my life, right? I will give you my life, I'll give you my wealth. But if you talk about my iman, that I cannot discount. But you see now, this iman, in what esteem, what respect they held it. Nothing must interrupt the respect that they hold for deen. Deen, they hold that in esteem. And nothing must come and intervene, nothing must come and interrupt in that. That I will not tolerate. Everything else I can tolerate. But this I cannot tolerate. So, in spite of his power, his might, his glory, whatever, but a slight disrespect to deen, and this man is not prepared to entertain that. So, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahman says that most people that got accepted was because of this. Most because of this, and sometimes it is also because of some act of kindness they did for any creation, whether it's a dog, whether it's an animal, whether it's a human being, but they did some act of kindness. So we're coming back to this verse now. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. What process has to be followed to get this acceptance? So the first is to listen. And I explain what listening means. Then the Quran says, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. When they come to any situation, then they are looking for the best cause. I'm not looking just for the permissibility. I'm looking for the best cause. I need to gain, but I need to get the best. After all, in our dunya matters, we apply the same concept, right? We're getting an investment here at 8%, right? And this one here at 28%. Secure. There's no doubt. All the people that are involved, they will assure you the returns. You're getting 28% here, and you're getting 8%. What will go for? Obviously, we'll go for the best, right? We're getting a business prospect, something here, something there. So we'll go for the best. Food, someone is giving you biryani, but frozen after 1 month, they dish it out before you. And one is prepared nice, right, and deliver and serve for you now. What are you going to prefer? You're going to prefer the thing that is better. So Allah Ta'ala says also, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. When you're coming to deeni matters, then the better, best thing. I can offer you a Corolla, right? I can offer you a Corolla, but I say, alright, you know, I like you, man. Never mind, for the same price, take a Lexus out of the box. What do you take? Our minds will go towards that is better. So Allah Pak is saying, what? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Then, when in deeni matters, they're not just looking for the thing that is permissible, but they're looking for the thing that is best. Now, how does it apply to ourselves? How does it apply to ourselves? Now, you're coming to the masjid, right? For namaz. It is permissible for you to take the back seat. It's permissible. You will not say that the man did something haram. He took the initiative. He came to the masjid. It was a great thing, right? But now he says, you know, what is the better cause? One is the permissible cause, and what is the better cause? The better cause is to come and occupy the front rows. To sit humbly, pay attention, recite some Quran Sharif, zikr, or some nafil namaz if the time is not makruh and forbidden time, and gain something. So now, I understood that this is the better thing. So now, when this is the better thing, so I will come and occupy the front row. So what is the additional blessing that I will get in the front row? The additional blessing is, you know, you're buying a car, so you're going to know that it's got a motor car plan or not. What benefits it's got? So you're going to see all the benefits, then you decide. So the same token, now you've come into the front row, what are you going to get? What are the additional benefits? So Bukhari Sharif has got a hadith which says, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْهُ مَا لَمْ يُؤْذِي أَحَدْ مَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ. The malaika, Allah Pak's most chosen servants, they making dua for you. You know, someone is going for Umrah, what you say? Make dua for us, man. Make dua. But the Kaaba Sharif, make dua for me. At the Murtazam, make dua for me. I am desperately in need. Don't we say that? The wealthy person or the poor person, everybody got the same need, make dua for me. At the Murtazam, make dua for me. Don't we say that? Here you got the most chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala, they are making dua for you. But this dua is going to be effective when مَا لَمْ يُؤْذِي أَحَدٍ, as long as you don't hurt anybody. Verbally, emotionally, materially, you don't hurt anybody. Anybody you don't hurt. Right? As long as you don't hurt anybody, then those malaika are going to continuously make dua for you. Now, in our context, what does it mean not to hurt? So in this day and time, so when you're coming to the masjid, we've got our phone switched off. Otherwise, it's your phone is ringing, right? But the whole masjid is getting disturbed. Aren't you disturbing? One person of the whole masjid. Now for your convenience, you got it switched off, switched on, but the entire congregation is getting disturbed. I say, is it fair to them? Really disrupted. Is it fair to them? Not disturbed. Not at all, right? So one is that we don't disturb anybody in any way. Mentally, physically, emotionally, we don't disturb anybody. One is the way we come to the masjid. We're not rowdy in the masjid or anywhere around the precincts of the masjid. Maybe in the masjid we are showing respect, but in the precincts of the masjid, we're talking aloud, right? And the voice is filtering through. Somebody is in namaz, somebody is zikr. But it's a disturbance. That's the second way. The third way that we will not disturb anybody, we will not carry any type of foul odor, cigarette, whatever. We have taken these type of things, that we make sure that we are clean, no smell, no odor, nothing foul about us. The fourth way that we will make sure that we don't hurt anybody is we don't park our cars incorrectly. Right? Cars are not parked incorrectly. Like, you used to know I'm making namaz and reading Quran Sharif. But what about the taklif that you're causing someone? So you're not causing any type of inconvenience to anybody. The fifth way of not causing any inconvenience is when you're coming in respectfully in a respectful attire. Respectful attire, the pious of today and of the past, the right clothing was flowing and not body hugging, right? We didn't come here for a show, you know, have a baby show, a clothing show. We didn't come for a clothing show or not a body show as well. We came here to show our allegiance, our humility, our respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clothing that is flowing, not body hugging and not body revealing. Now, we're doing this, now we have secured the du'as of the most pure creation. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. So you could have opted for the one that was permissible, but you say, no, I want all the additions. I want all the extras. So you want all the extras, then don't hurt anybody. As long as you don't hurt anybody. Number two, as long as you remain in the state of wuzu, the malaika are continuously making dua for you. We have some masjids, and the man just came in, he sat, he just read 2 rakat namaz, and after the 2 rakat namaz, he's gone. Didn't cause anybody any taklif. He's in the state of wuzu, he just completed his namaz, and he's got the duas, the malaika. What else does he need? In the house of Allah Ta'ala, in the state of wuzu, whilst the malaika are making dua for him, what else does he need? So, as long as you remain in the wuzu, in state of wuzu, and as long as you don't inconvenience anybody, you are getting all this dua. So, فَيَتَّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. The second way of gaining this better cause, you know, I said, Allah Pak is giving us the good news for who? For the ones that adopt the better cause. So one way to adopt the better cause that is explained. And another way to adopt the better cause, one is it's a permissible cause, and one is a better cause. If someone hurts you, then to hurt him equally is permissible. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. He used some foul language, right? Say, used some abusive language. So the word that he used, used that same word for him. He called you a dog, you called him again, right? There's no guna for that. You know, in the beginning when I just came in, started the madrasa somewhere in the 80s, so the school principal called me up. That time we had sizable school going children also coming to the madrasa. So school principal called me up. I went, you know, listen to this boy, see this boy, he's disrespecting. So I asked the child, Basa, but did you disrespect? Tell me exactly what happened. So he said, Mulana, you know, you all asked us not to listen to music, but now we are forced in the school to be sitting in the music lesson. So, all right, we sit there. And obviously I'm a child, so my mind will wander around because you all ask me not to participate in the music, so I don't sing and all that. But I'm wandering around. Now, the woman teacher that is instructing us, so she saw me looking around, and she was insulting. I said, what words she used? So she called him an ass, you know. So I asked, Basa, but what did you say after that? So, no, I only said this much, that we belong to the same species. That's the only word I said. Now that headmaster, he was so overwhelmed, he couldn't stick his laugh. For about 2 minutes, he just went like this. So if someone uses something abusive to return, to reply, it's permissible. It's not impermissible. But then what's the better cause? He used an abusive language, he insulted, he disgraced you to the extent that he was abusive, you retorted, right? So you squared up. But what is the better cause? The better cause is, يَوَيَدَرَؤُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Someone has been rude and impolite, you've been kind to him. Right? Someone serves you, you join up with him. Someone avoids you, you're going to make salam to him, right? Someone doesn't want to see you, he doesn't want to call you to his things, his dawahs, etc. But you entertain him, you show him the same amount of respect. You carry no malice in your heart for that person, irrespective of what he is doing. You don't tell yourself, no, but he is doing this, so I will treat him like how he treats me. He doesn't make me salam, so I won't make him salam. He is aggressive towards me, so I'll be aggressive towards him. He's impolite towards me, so I'll be impolite towards him. So no. وَيَدَرَؤُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ They return the wrong, the aggression, the impolite, the unkind behavior with kindness, with love, with affection. So now, that's the better cause. So that was permissible. Tit for tat was permissible. إِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عَاقِبْتُمْ To the extent of the abuse that was received, if you retort is permissible. But what is the better cause? The better cause is to forgive, to overlook, to be kind. Now look at Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people that pursued him after his life, right? Injured him, tried to humiliate him, right? They shot at the conveyance of the animal that his daughter was riding, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, that resulted in a miscarriage and then led to her death after that, right? So all that, Nabi tolerated everything. They waged war against him, conspiracies against him, rumors against him. They joined the allegiance against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At the end, when they are suffering, they are struck with a drought, they again pleading to Nabi Sallallahu, oh Muhammad, they didn't believe in me as yet, so they said, oh Muhammad, make dua for us, you know. And we have done this to you, and now we struck with a drought, so make dua for us. So Nabi Sallallahu didn't only make dua for them, but he sent a relief, a whole convoy of relief to them. So you see that. So I mustn't become so narrow in my mind and my thinking, that this person here, I'll put him in his place. Now he's in constraints, I'll put him, see, in his place. He must understand that he's playing, not playing with an ordinary person, he's playing with the Rasulullah. So he must understand the consequence. But now, what did Nabi Sallallahu do on that occasion? And all that suffering, that difficulty, that pain, insult, abuse. But he still got the heart to make dua for them. Allah alleviate that famine, the drought. He's got the heart to send a whole convoy of relief for them. We think that only Imdad is doing that. But from those days, Nabi Sallallahu is doing it. With his enemies, he's also doing it. With the non-Muslim, he's doing it. Now that's Nabi Sallallahu. So if Allah Ta'ala has chosen him as the Sayyidul Anbiya, it's not just for any small reason. You need to have that heart. So now this good news of being exalted, this good news of your duas being answered, it requires that we take and we adopt the better cause. Not just the permissible cause, but the better cause in any situation, every situation. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.